We're talking about the Colin Kaepernick issue on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Senate passed a resolution honoring Black History Month this week, and they rejected attempts to recognize Milwaukee native NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. The Senate approved the resolution on Wednesday with all Republicans in support and Democrats against. Democratic Senator Lena Taylor, who is Black, argued on the Senate floor that Republicans were on the wrong side of this issue.
You don't have to understand. It's not your lens. It's not your story. It's ours. Who are you to deny our reality?
What do you think of Republicans' refusal to pass a resolution that included Colin Kaepernick's name? Let us know at 800-642-1234. Jessie Appoint is a reporter for the Capital Times, and she covers state politics and government. Jessie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Okay, can you walk us through the timeline of events here? How did this all start?
Sure. So this started with the Legislative Black Caucus, which there are no Republicans in the legislature who are African-American, so this is entirely Democrats. But this is the Legislative Black Caucus. They came together and decided on a resolution to honor Black History Month. So this is something that's done every year, and as a general tradition, the caucus picks out a list of names of influential Black individuals that they would like to honor in the resolution. So they put together this resolution, included a lot of influential figures, including the state's first African-American state superintendent of public instruction. But the list also included the NFL former quarterback Colin Kaepernick. And so this came to the Assembly for a vote earlier this week, and Assembly Republicans objected to the inclusion of Colin Kaepernick. They said he was too controversial of a figure. They wanted to put together a resolution that everyone in the legislature could agree on. They said if they were going to vote on a resolution like this, everyone should feel okay about every name in the resolution. So at that point, Republicans introduced their own resolution that did not include Colin Kaepernick. They went back and forth a little bit in the Assembly earlier this week. Eventually, they passed that resolution. The Black Caucus sort of came to a compromise with Assembly Republicans and said, okay, we'll pass the resolution without Colin Kaepernick. But then shortly after that, the Black Caucus, it started with one member, and it became the entire caucus, and eventually the entirety of the Assembly Democrats asked to have their votes changed on the record because they felt that the resolution was too watered down.
And then what happened in the Senate?
Essentially, the same thing played out all over again. So the Senate took up the resolution the Assembly passed, and so that's the one that doesn't include Colin Kaepernick. And the Senate debated this for about 4.5 hours. And when I say debated, I mean the Senate Democrats talked. The Senate Republicans didn't speak on the issue, but they talked about Black history. They talked about racial disparity issues in Wisconsin, and they talked about the form of protest that Colin Kaepernick is engaged in. And there were some sort of procedural disagreements. They tried to, take up the Legislative Black Caucus's resolution instead of the Republican resolution. Senator Lena Taylor actually asked to have the Black Caucus's resolution removed because she couldn't support it at that point since it had been altered. And eventually what ended up happening was Democrats voted against the resolution, Republicans voted for it. So by the end of the week, you had a resolution that had originally been introduced by the Legislative Black Caucus, but it had been altered to a point where they didn't support it anymore, and so they voted against it.
Well, we have a number of perspectives of people who would like to speak about this. Let's go to Vincent first in Blue Mounds. Vincent, hi.
Good morning.
What is your side on this?
My side on this is I believe Colin Kaepernick is well deserved of all the wrath and shunning that not only Congress and the legislation, local politicians, Black caucus, but of every American in this country. You can do wonderful things that are not well received by the public, and there's dozens of athletes out there doing wonderful things. Some of them are a little dicey. This is a very touchy subject, Black Lives Matter. I think he could have handled it better I think his handlers should have controlled him a little bit better. But the fact of the matter is, he still got over. And by that I mean he has more money than you and I and almost everyone in your studio will make in 4 or 5 lifetimes.
And so, Vincent, this Milwaukee native had no business being on this resolution, in your opinion?
No, I believe he's an American of the lowest standards as far as his patriotism is concerned, and I believe he should be shunned.
Thanks for those comments. Let's go to Brash in Milwaukee now with your thoughts on this. Brash, hi.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I couldn't disagree more with your last caller. I feel like it's not up to Republicans, by and large, most of which are white, to define who the leaders in the black community are. I think this is just another example of the white establishment trying to whitewash black history. Colin Kaepernick is from Wisconsin. He's a Milwaukee native. And like it or not, he is a black leader, and he deserves to be recognized like any other black leader. And it's not up to us white people, I'm white, to define what that leadership is or what it looks like.
Jesse, this isn't the first time that Wisconsin lawmakers couldn't agree on how to honor Black History Month.
That's right. This is the second year in a row that this has been a disagreement. Last year, the Black Caucus authored a resolution similarly, singling out, I think they had 14 names that they had picked out to honor last year, and a member of the Assembly Republicans, who is white, said that he, you know, supports honoring Black history, but he believed that it would be better to honor all Black Americans, to just sort of have a blanket resolution thanking all Black Wisconsinites for their contributions instead of singling out any individuals and potentially leaving anyone out.
Well, we have some tape of Representative Jim Steinke talking about his stance on this. Let's take a listen.
Hours earlier, we were honoring 4 law enforcement officers that had courageously leaped into and risked their lives during the Middleton shooting in order to save the lives of countless others. And it just didn't seem appropriate at the same time to honor an individual in Colin Kaepernick that has likened law enforcement officers to the runaway slave patrol.
So, Jesse, how have Republicans been explaining their decision not to include Kaepernick?
Yeah, you know, it's that pretty much sums up the position. I think, you know, there's some disagreement over, you know, his decision to kneel during the national anthem, but I think a lot of the frustration from Republicans came from a decision that Colin Kaepernick made in 2016. He wore a pair of socks during a training camp practice that had pictures of pigs wearing you know, police uniforms on them, and he said that was he was calling out, I think he said, rogue police officers, you know, trying to single out individual bad actors within law enforcement. But you know, the fact that you know, as Representative Steinke said, that they've been honoring law enforcement earlier that day, you know, there was at the same time about to be a funeral for a police officer in Milwaukee who had been killed on duty, and so Assembly Republicans, to the extent that they did speak on it, said that they didn't think it was appropriate to honor someone who had been critical of law enforcement in that way.
Jesse, thank you for bringing us up to speed on this.
Thank you for having me.
Jesse Apoyan is a reporter for the Capital Times. She covers state politics and government. We've been talking about the Black History Month proclamation passed by Wisconsin lawmakers that omitted the name of Colin Kaepernick. Up next, is it okay to go gray? Just as we consider whether the cultural tides have shifted when it comes to embracing our gray hair, then a scientist helps us get to the root of what is causing gray hair. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the trend to embrace gray hair here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And for some time, we've been watching this, young and old, doesn't matter. Maybe you've talked about it when you sat down for a haircut recently. Women and men are embracing their natural gray hair color. It's a thing. We're going into the fashion statement. We're looking at the social implications and the biology of those grays. It's chic, it's edgy, still all over Instagram. Are you someone who's learned to embrace your gray? Was there an aha moment for you that helped you accept it? What was that? Or did you color your hair gray because it's the trend? Let us know at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Rory Satran is fashion director at the Wall Street Journal, where she oversees men's and women's fashion and beauty. She also recently wrote a piece titled "The Hottest Hair Color of the Moment is Gray." Rory, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you pointed out that between 2017 and 2018, Pinterest says it saw an 879% jump in the search term going gray. When did we start to notice this was becoming a trend?
You know, I think that we can trace it back up to 5 years ago. Kelly Osbourne was one of the first to jump on the dyeing hair gray trend. And since then, it's kind of mushroomed. And you have older women who are embracing their gray hair and younger women who are dyeing their hair gray all across the spectrum, from kind of a light ashy platinum that's almost blonde all the way to grays that veer into pastels like lilac and pink.
So when you look at photos of this trend, you see that there's a spectrum for this gray hair color. Some, as you mentioned, looks platinum blonde, others more white. Then there's this traditional gray you might associate with aging. So how are we defining the trend?
I think it's anything that's really a purposeful gray where the woman is wholly embracing their color. We're not talking about an accidental gray where it's like, I forgot to touch up my roots or something, some kind of salt and pepper color is coming through and I'm not owning it. It's, you know, it's a light lilac like the Lady Gaga do that she wore at the Golden Globes, or it's the model Kristen McMenemy wearing long sort of silver locks, or the CoverGirl star Mae Musk, Elon Musk's mother, who's also a model who has short silver hair. Yeah, it's this very purposeful gray hair across the whole kind of spectrum of colors.
One of the people you talked to was a 30-year-old who said that when she found her first gray hair, she was super excited, but you said that finding your first gray hairs a few years ago was less than exciting. Why did you think you had such different reactions?
Right. So that was Larkin Brown, who actually works at Pinterest, who was excited to find her first gray hair. I think that a lot has changed in the few years since I got my first grays until now. There's sort of a lot more a lot more gray in pop culture. You're seeing women who just are completely owning it, who are on the older side, as well as like pop stars such as Ariana Grande, the K-pop star CL, just sporting this gray hair and kind of owning it and looking great. So yeah, a lot has changed, I would say, since 2016, 2017.
Talking with Rory Satran, she's a fashion director at the Wall Street Journal, where she oversees men's and women's fashion and beauty. We're talking about the gray hair that we're seeing all over the place. You can call in, join the conversation, 800-642-1234. What is your approach to gray hair? Do you embrace it? Do you cover it up? Why? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So Rory, we've heard that we're at this point in society of embracing individuality and authenticity. Could this gray hair thing be a part of that desire to appear more authentic?
I think that's absolutely true. And a lot of the women I spoke to who were really embracing their gray connected this to sort of a larger movement of body positivity and fashion. You know, if you wear glasses, wear the coolest glasses you can. If If you're curvy, wear clothing that accentuates those curves. And I'm just coming off of a week of shows at New York Fashion Week where there was a huge uptick in older models. At the presentation for the show of DeVoe, a fairly new line, it was full of older models with gorgeous gray hair, including one of the women I spoke to for this story, Jocelyne Beaudoin, who's a kind of older tastemaker and model, actually. And so I find it super inspiring.
Yeah. You're saying that old is in, that we're in this context of a style moment that includes big eyeglasses, oversized turtlenecks, no matter what your age is. Can you talk more about the fashion right now and how gray is emphasizing it or playing into it?
Absolutely. I think that there, designers that were once considered maybe mom designers, the Eileen Fishers of this world that make these kind of forgiving looks of sort of oversized sweaters and dark colors and cozy shapes. That's all in right now. If you look at the sort of the most in-demand designers include The Row, which is designed by Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen. The Row is essentially Eileen Fisher, but at much, much higher prices. So I think Eileen Fisher is experiencing a big kind of resurgence of interest at the moment. And women are gravitating toward these shapes that once might have been considered frumpy, but now are seen as chic and interesting.
Well, let's take a call. Let's go to Shauna joining us from Milwaukee. Shauna, what about your gray hair?
Hi, guys. I actually totally gave up almost 2 years ago bothering to do the touch-up on the roots. Probably by the age of 37, I had 40% coverage, and it was getting a little old, just constantly having to go in. Ever since I have, I'm like, man, not full gray, but it's beautiful. Like, it's just this perfect mix. It's absolutely what fits my personality and my look. And no one really asks about it. I think they all think I actually have blonde hair mixed in there. But I did get hit on one time by a guy who said, girl, who got you stressing? Why you got all them gray hairs? I'm like, what? Like, this is what 39 looks like.
Shauna, do you wear it short or long or somewhere in between?
Between medium and long, yeah. Curly, straight, I change it up all the time. But it's pretty much the first part of my personality.
Do you feel more confident with it?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. It sounds like that Rory, Shauna really embraces it now, that it's not no use hiding it anymore.
I love hearing that. And a lot of the women I did speak to for this story did reference the fact that they were tired of spending, 4 hours in the salon chair and spending hundreds of dollars to achieve a look that was essentially false. I spoke with the global head of the advertising agency, Wieden & Kennedy. Her name is Colleen DeCourcy. And she had such a cool kick-ass attitude about this whole thing. And she wanted to set sort of a better example for the young women working at the agency. And she felt that part of that was just embracing who she was and not wasting a lot of time and money and energy as a busy woman in the salon chair, which I definitely relate to also. There are better things to do with your time.
Well, let's bring in another call. Lori is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Lori. What's your story with gray?
I would really love to embrace my gray. However, ageism is alive and well. I find that I do not get hired unless I have covered my gray. So I feel forced to continue to color my hair in an effort to be able to get hired in meaningful positions.
May I ask?
And I don't believe that the young girls dyeing their hair gray is the same thing.
Lori, may I ask what sector you work in, what your jobs are?
I work in education. Mm. So, and ageism is definitely alive and well. So social worker type of thing, school teacher, these are all positions that I would fit into. However, at the age of 57, I find myself passed up for younger girls.
Lori, thanks for the call. Rory, what are your insights there on gray and ageism?
Yeah, this was something I spoke with a lot of my subjects, and I think you're 100% right. Really depends what type of job you have. I spoke with a woman who was one of the first women on to hold a really high position on Wall Street, Alexandra Leventhal, and she said something very similar. She said, you know, in my workplace and the workplaces I've seen, this just would not fly. So I get that, and I think that there's a really valid reason to kind of keep coloring. But I do think that there is a shift happening kind of overall, which hopefully we'll get to the place where people can have whatever hair color they want in whatever workplace they're in. But yeah, the more traditional, more buttoned up workplaces, definitely finance, corporate law, and politics. I mean, how often do you see female politicians with gray hair? Not very often.
We're embracing gray hair and looking closer at the social implications with the Wall Street Journal's fashion director, Rory Citron. She oversees men's and women's fashion and beauty. Did you gray early on? Did you embrace it or take steps to cover it up? And if you covered it up, why do you think you felt the need to disguise the gray? Were you afraid it would make you look too old for your industry? We're at 800-642-1234. Up next, it's news, and then we'll look at those societal issues with gray here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about how people are showing their gray hair more or even dyeing it gray. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You know, a couple of years ago, there were stories about ageism in Silicon Valley. And at the time, Google and Hewlett-Packard had been hit with lawsuits involving age discrimination. And the article said Silicon Valley can't hide the pervasive lack of gray hair. One Silicon Valley stylist interviewed in the Vox article said that some men going gray early will dye their hair, except no one is allowed to know about it. So we're looking at what society thinks about gray. With your insights, welcome at 800-642-1234. The Wall Street Journal's fashion director, Rory Citron, stays with us, and she oversees men's and women's fashion and beauty. Let's bring another call now. Let's go to Monica from Waukesha. Monica, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call and for having this honestly courageous conversation. I was 21, and I already had a big wad of gray hair. And at age, and I had been dyeing it. I dyed it for many years. And I started thinking, is it good for my body to be putting all these bunch of chemicals on me willingly twice a month? And I found on time that because of health issues, it was a good idea for me to stop dyeing it. And I found out that I was completely gray by the time that I did it, which was age about 47. And isn't it interesting how we talk about accepting each other as we are, regardless of race and many other things? And I think the more we talk about this and the more we go gray or whatever color we are, the more we are going to make a difference where color and skin color or hair color will no longer matter.
Monica, thank you so much for your thoughts there. Rory, what do you hear?
I love that. And, you know, it makes me think of all of the amazing women that I found through the course of reporting this story through hashtags on Instagram. This entire community has kind of sprung up on Instagram, on Pinterest, using different hashtags like Silver Sisters and Gray Hair Don't Care. Women are finding a community online, other women with whom to talk about deciding to transition to their natural gray hair or dyeing their hair gray and kind of talking about the process and supporting each other, which I find awesome.
Well, where do men fit into this conversation in terms of how society perceives women who let their hair go gray versus men who go gray?
That's a great point. I mean, we definitely wanted to speak to that double standard. So we have a sidebar to the article talking about the men's perspective on all of this. I mean, I think we can all widely agree that a man with salt and pepper hair is considered attractive and sexy well into their twilight years, whereas for women, the same is not true. We had a picture of George Clooney with his salt and pepper hair in the piece kind of speaking to that. I think that, you know, men generally don't dye their hair after a certain age and don't encounter the same kind of ageism that women do.
And there were products, I'm thinking, that have been around for quite some time that they wash in these various products so that they can, you know, just show a little bit more, you know, less, little less gray and very much in a gradient sort of way. Has those products, like just for men, gotten traction?
I think that they have, for men historically. Like the idea of showing a little bit of gray at the temples is totally masculine. There are some exceptions. There are some women who look fantastic with streaks. Think of like a Susan Sontag who looks amazing with a white streak in front of her hair. I mean, I think they're many ways of doing the gray look, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. And women are kind of only just starting to discover the spectrum because they're being permitted to.
Let's go to Pamela now, joining us from Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, Pamela. What's your story?
Hi. Wonderful show. I just wanted to put my input in fitness for we ladies of gray and older. I'm 79 years old, and I had a fitness center for 13 years, which I recently closed. But if we, my philosophy is the first time you see a gray hair, start working out. Because in 30 or 40 years, I started with Jane Fonda, and now look at her and her show Gray and Grace and Frankie. And fitness is important through Silver Sneakers, as the lady mentioned. There are so many senior programs, Strong Women. Keep up your fitness, and you will look fantastic. That's all I wanted to say.
Pamela, thank you for the call. Rory, how has the fitness industry, have you seen it embrace through its marketing with gray hair?
I'm not sure exactly about the connection with the fitness industry, although I love your comment, and it does make me think about a 60-something set designer I spoke with for this piece who finds that her hair has actually helped her career. And when I asked about reactions when she went onto these photo shoots and these kind of glamorous fashion sets, with her fully gray hair, she said, you know, people respect it because it looks good. And ultimately, whether it's in fashion or in fitness, if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, younger people and, you know, men, women respect it when you own your hair and it looks great. And I think the color is kind of becoming secondary. You want your hair to look healthy. And one of the things that kept coming up over and over again was when I stopped submitting my hair to those chemical dyes every month, my hair looked healthier.
So you mentioned set design. Is it easier for women perhaps in creative fields like show business to let their hair go gray?
I think absolutely. I think that like any kind of fashion or beauty trend, women and men who are in these kind of creative industries have a lot more freedom to play with their look. And that's something that we always try to nod to, especially with the Wall Street Journal, which speaks to people in very corporate industries, that you might not encounter the same kind of acceptance in every workplace, as our caller in education found as well.
And also in Silicon Valley, we have seen that trend where, you know, to be a young engineer, it sounds like you're more in demand than an aging engineer, and how you look certainly plays a role there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're talking about gray hair and the whether you wear it or not. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you gray early on? Did you embrace it or take steps to cover it up? And if you covered it up, why do you think you felt the need to disguise the gray with color? Were you afraid it would make you look too old? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Rory, you follow fashion quite closely. Do you think that we will go away from this gray trend, or is it here to stay?
I think it's here to stay. I think it's absolutely here to stay. I think that you're going to see more and more women kind of never going down the dye route. One of the things now is women phasing out hair dye, but phasing out hair dye is a long process. It can take up to 2 years. You need to work in highlights. So basically, you need to sort of half dye your hair for several months in order to get to a place where you're not dyeing it anymore. I think with these younger women who are dyeing their hair sort of dove gray, you're going to see women like Larkin Brown from Pinterest who just never go for it, who never submit to the dye.
And you've had quite a mixed journey with gray hair yourself, it seems. In your 20s, you tried to dye your hair salt and pepper. And then, as we talked about earlier, you reached a point where you were unhappy to find your first natural gray hair a few years back. You tried out a few gray looks at the office. What was the reaction?
So I didn't actually dye my hair salt and pepper. That was my editor, Del Robbie, who wrote the men's sidebar for the piece. So I never actually did that. But yes, for this story, I did one day where I had a hairstylist kind of powder and spray my hair a grayish lavender color. And then the next day I wore a grayish blonde wig to kind of see the reactions and try out the trend for myself.
So do you plan to let yourself go gray naturally, or where are you landing on this?
I'm not quite there yet, so not totally sure. It definitely gave me new insight into the world of gray. One of the things I discuss in the piece is how I'm a redhead. My mother is, my brothers are, my daughter is. So I think there's a real kind of familial feeling around your natural hair color that can be hard to give up. It kind of connects you to your ancestry. Redheads are also notoriously a staunch group that don't like to give up their hair color. But, you know, I did find a lot of the women's stories quite inspiring, and I would be open to going fully gray. Yes, we'll see when we get there.
Rory, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Rory Satran is fashion director at the Wall Street Journal, where she oversees men's and women's fashion and beauty. She recently wrote a piece titled "The Hottest Hair Color of the Moment is Gray." Coming up, we explore the biology of what happens in the hair follicle and what we learn about gray from lab mice. Stay with us for this conversation here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the biology of gray hair on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. So why does hair turn gray? Why does that follicle produce less color? And what does genetics have to do with it? What are your questions about how hair goes gray? We're at 800-642-1234. Melissa Harris is an assistant professor of biology at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, and she researches stem cells and aging. Melissa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So what do we know about why our hair goes gray? What's the science behind it?
Well, so what we currently understand is that it has to do with this very special stem cell that resides within your hair. So in order to understand why it goes gray, we have to just understand really briefly why we get color in the first place. So you have actually two stem cells in your hair. One is your hair follicle stem cell. It divides and produces the hair cells that make the hair itself. And then you have the other one, the melanocyte stem cell, that divides to produce pigment cells. Pigment cells are the important ones. These pigment cells are going to inject pigment into your hair as it grows. And so it's a coordinated team effort between the two. You have your hair follicle stem cell to grow the hair, and then your melanocyte stem cell to inject the pigment into the hair.
That melanocyte stem cell, and it just loses pigment over time? Or
no. So what happens, we know that with age, you actually lose the cell itself. And so these melanocyte stem cells, as we get older, they start to disappear. And when you lose them, you don't get the pigment cells, then you don't get the injection of the pigment. And then that produces a non-pigmented, or what we visualize as a gray hair.
And some people go gray earlier than others. And you've conducted research on that suggests that viral infections might have something to do with that. What did you learn?
Yeah, so we found in our lab mice that there are some mice that are more sensitive to viral infection than others. And so what this sort of tells us, and actually is something that we do know from studying humans as well, is that our genetics plays a role in when and how much we may end up going gray. Although there's a number of factors, that's one major one.
What are some of the other factors that people go gray earlier than others?
Well, so clearly, we know that exposure to ionizing radiation, this is radiation that you get just from being outside. It's at low levels. If you fly in planes, you can get it as well. That, if you get it in high doses, can affect your melanocyte stem cells and can cause them to get lost early. We know that is one of the main ways that you can get earlier gray hair. Also, there's different kinds of chemicals too that can affect those stem cell populations.
Does stress have anything to do with it?
We don't know, but that's a really great question. We actually have a mouse model that we're studying right now that has to do with stress hormones, and we hope to maybe finally answer that old wives' tale about whether stress really does induce gray hair. We would love to answer that question so that way we could really know how to maybe prevent some of it.
So when you're working with your mice, how do you make the mice go gray earlier? How do you make them do that?
Well, so one of them, the one that I was telling you about ionizing radiation, that's where we can treat the mice with actually X-ray. Certain different doses of X-ray will induce gray hair. And so that's one of the ways that we can do it in the lab setting.
We're talking with Melissa Harris. She is an assistant professor of biology at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, where she researches stem cells and aging. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your questions about how hair goes gray? We're at 800-642-1234. So could we one day get to a point where we could perhaps reactivate our hair pigmentation cells? Is it possible?
We hope so. So yes, we would like to. That is one of the main reasons that we've been looking at this particular stem cell population, because we can see what happens when we are able to use some different kinds of regenerative therapies. And that's really one of the main goals of this research, is to understand how the cells disappear, or if they disappear, and how we could maybe wake them up or bring them back, so that way we could gain function again. And not just for this stem cell population. I know a lot of people are interested in their hair color, but even for other stem cells that are important for other bodily functions that, you know, keep us living.
And what does our heredity or our lineage have to do with gray hair?
So we've shown, or we've been able to see in humans, that across the world, if we look at our ancestors, that's going to say something about when we're going to get gray hair and how much gray hair that we're going to get. We call this our genetic background, essentially. And so there is something to say about that there are certain ancestral lineages that will get gray hair much earlier, in their 30s or 40s or 50s. And this has been shown in humans. So that's one big factor, is where your people's people have come from.
So we're all revealing here. What do you do with your hair? Do you let it go gray?
So far, I've only got a couple. So I haven't done too much yet, but I do have to make a big decision coming up probably in the near future. But I probably will, you know. I mean, this is the kind of work that I do. It's something that I enjoy looking at and studying. And so even in my own self, I think it will be interesting to see how it happens.
Yeah, you're going to put one of those gray hairs under a microscope. I can totally predict that. So where, Melissa, is this research headed as we look at gray hair?
Well, so like you had mentioned, we are very interested in regenerative therapies. And so that is one of the main reasons we've been studying this model, because it's so accessible. It's on the outside of our body. You can see it, right? And so we would really like to be able to use these mice to better understand if there are therapies out there that can help us return back the function of these melanocyte stem cells. And we really think that that's going to open the window to be able to treat other stem cell populations as well. This just happens to be such a really nice, easy model. Gray hair doesn't kill you. And so we don't have to worry about our mice dying, you know, because of this. And so that's where we hope to go in the future.
So what happens when some people's hair goes gray, but then it goes back to their normal color? What's going on there?
Yeah, we don't know. That's very unusual. And those are actually some of the studies that we like to think about most. We call that repigmentation. And so for repigmentation, we think that you actually have some stem cell populations that haven't gotten lost, that are actually there, but maybe they're just sleeping. And so we think that if you have these sort of sleeping, lazy cells, that maybe we can kick them into gear by using some sort of regenerative therapy. That's what we hope. Those people kind of give us hope, actually.
Let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Tim joining us from Cambridge. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, it's not really a question, but my uncles were fully white-haired by 18. That's something that runs on that side of the family for some reason. Now, I take after my mom's side, and I'll be 40 tomorrow, but I'm 80% salt and pepper, and it started in my 20s. I started getting that salt and pepper look going on.
Melissa, what do we know about we're short on time here, Tim. I'm sorry. Melissa, what do we know about very early onset of gray?
So actually, nobody understands why we get very, very early. Although in our mice, we know that there are certain genetic mutations that can lead to early gray, but it's not ever been shown directly in humans yet.
And as we start to wrap up here, what excites you about this research on stem cells?
I think that just the fact that we can better understand how these stem cells are affected over time tells us a lot about mechanisms for how we age and how we could improve aging. You had a previous speaker talking about exercise. Exercise has been shown to increase your longevity. So things like that, by studying these stem cells, can we find ways of improving our lives, gaining longevity, gaining health span, not in just how we feel, but also in how we look.
Well, Melissa, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Melissa Harris is an assistant professor of biology at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, and she researches stem cells and aging there. Just ahead, we learn how to sneak maple syrup and honey into everyday recipes. We look at what's ahead for maple sugaring season in Wisconsin. And then later this morning, President Trump is expected to sign a government funding bill and declare a national emergency to try to free up additional funding for a border wall. Stay with us on the Ideas Network after 9 when On Point will have the latest updates on that situation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us for the morning show here on the Ideas Network.